Comedian, actor, all-around good guy, Eric Griffin is going to join us in studio. Always brings the funny. And we'll do the news as well. First, there's Geico. Do you own? Do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Adam Carolla's sixth book and audiobook. Everything reminds me of something. Advice, answers, but no apologies.
Wrestling is also interesting in that it's the only sport where if you put the word professional in front of it, it becomes fake. The word professional usually makes everything better. Even bowling gains credibility when you put the word professional in front of it. Without the word professional preceding it, the bowlers you picture is your brother-in-law or Homer Simpson. But if you shorten it to just pro, it gets confusing. Because as far as race and status go, there's no bigger chasm than that between a pro bowler and a pro bowler.
Everything reminds me of something. Available now, wherever finer books are sold.
Eric Griffin in studio. Eric's got a podcast out called Riffin' with Griffin, and it's available wherever you listen to finer podcasts. Also, live dates coming up, Hollywood Improv, July 30th through August 1st as well. And shoot him a tweet at Eric Griffin. I probably was mostly exposed to Eric in I'm Dying Up Here, which is one of – I have a short list of shows I miss.
Yes.
And that is
– I miss
great.
It too.
that is definitely one of them, man. Yeah. But also I'll bring it up to the group because it just reminded me of that, talking about my book and bowling. What are some – and it's in the book somewhere, but, you know – fencing should be the most exciting of all the Olympic sports, you know, and the Olympics are like a lot of guys running, you know, 5 miles in a circle, you know, lots of, you know, some cross-country skiing and stuff. But fencing, you would think, like if you'd never heard of the Olympics and someone said fencing, you'd be
sword
like,
sword fighting, that's amazing.
Awesome.
Yeah, but then when you see it, it's,
right.
It's like it's covered up in like a hazmat suit.
Yeah, like a beekeeper.
You know, like if there was a chance someone could like lose an eye or something like that, it might be more exciting.
But you know what I also realized? It's the length. We've only seen depictions of sword fighting in movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The sword fighting in movies takes 14 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Princess Bride.
It's going up the stairs backwards.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's swinging from the chandelier. It's the candelabra.
Yep.
You know, it's the foil. En garde, where you like flex it over your head. It goes on and goes. They go all the way through the castle.
Yeah.
This is like one lunge forward, pull back. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like the average... I mean, I don't know, Chris, maybe you could find it, but I said the average joust lasts under 2 seconds. We need to innovate.
And additionally, from a viewer's perspective, it's a hard one to watch because you don't know who's scoring.
Yeah.
Can anyone explain how the scoring works? No.
But you have that compared to that ridiculous one where they're rolling a thing on the ground and they're sweeping and
curling. I'd rather watch that.
But I mean, what I'm saying is, like, at what point does that mean anything could be an Olympic event?
Yeah, it does. But I'll tell you one thing I like about curling. I like when the husband-wife team gets out there and the guy slides the frozen ham and it's like, bitch, get that broom and get busy. I haven't seen a woman sweep like that since a Disney cartoon, you know? Like, just out there working it, you know what I mean? I like that kind of, it's old school camaraderie.
Yeah.
I will slide this frozen ham, you chase it with a broom.
Everybody play their part.
That's right.
Best of us.
So I was thinking what would help Olympic fencing, and I think this is in the book, Dawson, which is, first off, everyone's got to wear the outfit of their country.
This is in President Me.
Oh, it's in President Me. You cannot wear just a white sort of non-whatever.
Stormtrooper.
If you are from Japan, you are now a samurai.
Ooh, no, because that looks like a target. It's just a big red circle.
It doesn't. That's what you wore. That's what you wore. that back in the day. If or you're, if you're a Frenchman, you're one of the Three Musketeers. Right. You know, yeah, a big yeah. feather coming from the hat. You
Are
know,
you Uncle Sam like if you're from the U.S.?
Buckled shoes. We'll figure it out. Okay. But you represent.
Yes.
You represent.
I like that.
And just like they do with paintball, let's get a motif going. You know what I mean? Let's get a little castle going.
Yeah, that's fun.
Candelabra, chandelier.
Like
you know
laser
what I mean?
Tag?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, it means like obstacles. They don't just go, hey, go out in the middle of a field. They go, we have a little simulated. Mm-hmm. There's a van over there that's broken down. You could hide in that, mm-hmm. a little urban warfare, whatever. Just let's.
I love it.
Jazz it up.
Jazz it up.
Well, fencing's like one of those. Like awards in the Grammys or Emmys that they never air.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like from the afternoon.
Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, best whatever. And you're like, oh, there's an Oscar for that?
Yeah, right.
You know, they don't show that on TV. That's what fencing is.
Well, what I'm saying is let's get some ratings. Yeah. That's what
Shouldn't
I'm saying.
Shouldn't be that way.
The only way they're going to get ratings is there has to be a chance of real injury.
Yeah.
Right.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
when you have a big one of those like fluffy samurai suit things on, those sumo suits,
yeah.
while you're, you know, with everything's covered, there's no, it should be that you have to literally scratch a person.
Well, and those things have like little balls on the end of
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
So at least, you know, sharpen it up, you're
sharpen
saying.
Sharpen it up.
Yeah.
Sharpen
give
it up.
Like a chance of
they
something.
Don't call it rape your wit for no reason.
I didn't say samurai, inflatable samurai suit, although I would watch that. Yeah. You could puncture a guy. But no, you got to wear that weird bamboo chest thing and that funky hat if you're China, I guess.
Like Genghis Khan?
Yeah.
Just like crude stereotypes about
crude stereotypes.
Oh no, but what if you're Polynesian? Then you don't really have any.
No, if you're American, Islander. You gotta go Civil War general.
Right.
Okay, yeah.
You need the blue suit with the thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean obviously we're working this out,
right.
but we'll establish that and then we'll see.
I like it.
And we'll also see whose weapon is the best.
Wait, everyone gets different weapons?
Well, you wouldn't have the Civil War general fighting with the samurai
Wait, so
sword.
So there's going to be like a musket against a katana?
No, it's the sword of your culture.
Yeah, and I do but think it should be a sword as opposed to like that skinny.
I'm going
to
have a gun.
You said that's what I thought you meant.
Indiana Jones.
We're talking about fencing.
They kicked Nicolas Cage out of the restaurant.
They have a different.
Did they?
But
the katana is different than the foil. It's different than the Civil War sword. We'll figure out.
But there was a Civil War sword?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just in team.
It's how you lead a charge. You got to pull it out.
Yeah, I mean, okay.
Imagine they had like, they fought a certain way back then where it was like, you stood over there and I'm going to stand over here.
Yeah.
That you shoot me and then I get to shoot you.
Yep.
And that's how they did it.
Rules of engagement.
Yeah.
The rules of engagement. You know, there's, I mean, that's craziness.
What happened?
We don't have that anymore.
Yeah, somebody figured out, why don't we just flank them and kill them from the back?
Way more complicated time.
Yeah. So you see the whites of their eyes? That's a gentlemanly way to fight.
That was guerrilla warfare, basically. You know, that was, I guess, what undid the Brits. Like, they all got in their uniforms and they marched.
That's how
how the Revolutionary War was won.
Yeah,
and also, even as far back or as few far back as, like, more modern-day stuff like World War One, using a submarine was considered undignified.
The coward of the deep.
Yeah, like, you'd go underneath a ship and shoot it that way. No, you square up and you ships of the line. You know, we see who has the better cannonballs. Like, nope, we're going this way.
Yep.
Yeah.
And now there's guys from Boyle Heights doing donuts on a bridge. It's on. It's just on. It's guerrilla. It's full guerrilla warfare everywhere all the time. Yeah, right back to the States. Eric, you just got married?
I did.
Hey.
My ring is burning. It's burning. Every time I get, I'm too close to another woman. I love it, though. You know what? I didn't know I was missing it until I got in it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people that are in long-term relationships that don't get married, they always have that same tone. They go like, well, we don't need to get married. It's just a piece of paper
What's
and all
difference?
This stuff. There is something extra when you are, like, you've now said, this is it.
Yeah. I mean, as I got married less than a year ago, and I totally agree.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, I have these weird conversations now that, like, just weren't happening before,
like?
You know? Like, first of all, she's, you know, shitting with the door open now.
Oh, boy. Mm.
And trying to make eye contact.
And it's bad because it's the front door.
You know?
It's that bad.
You know, so it's like, it's that kind of thing. Oh, they're all beautiful.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, look at us.
Wow.
Oh, look at that dress.
She designed that herself, too, by the way.
Oh, nice.
Gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Herself. She looks like a Greek goddess.
I was going to say.
I know.
Own it, girl.
I swung up.
Yeah, she's beautiful. She's a model.
Yeah, but she's just part-time. You know what I mean?
That's all.
I thought that diminishes it.
Yeah. No, that's win-win. Models don't really – I mean, modeling is like such a
no,
weird –
No, part-time is what you want. Yeah, full-time, yeah. She's blowing some French photographer on the Champs-Élysées.
All the photographers are creeps, by the way.
Right. They're all the creeps.
They're all creeps, you know? Yeah. When we were first dating, she would like go to like some photographer. Then like next thing you know, it's always like, so why are there like, you know, topless pictures? Like why do you have to do that? And it always turns into that. You know, it's always like, well, they wanted to see this and that. And, you know, models aren't – they. I've been to these modeling shows and I've been backstage with her. And I'd be like, they just have no regard for nudity or anything like that. They just – because it's so like, we got to get dressed and it doesn't even matter, you know?
No, they're super – catch as catch can with that. But you know, I will say from personal experience, you pull your dick out and then all of a sudden they got a beef.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And I'm like, whoa, yeah.
They call come security. On.
Like,
so uptight.
Like he's going to be the one that was like, you know, her tits were out. I didn't ask for this.
Right. Non-consensual.
Non-consensual tits were out in my face. But marriage is great, though. And it really is. I am really enjoying it. And now, you know, I'm going to try to get some babies going.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm doing this all late. I mean, I keep telling people. Every young person I see now, I go, how old do you want to be when your kid is 10? Mm-hmm. Stop messing around. Mm-hmm. All you dudes in your late 20s and 30s who are like, you know, well, I got time and I want my life to be a certain way. What are you doing? To be what? If you plan on being a father, how old do you want to be when your kid is 10? Do you want to be 50? You want to be 60? You want to be 70? You know, get at it. And also remember that women, they have a different type of biological clock. It's not the same. You know, it's not the same.
Indeed.
I don't even know if guys possess a clock.
That's what I'm saying.
We don't
no
have
clock.
A clock. We don't know what time it is biologically.
We don't know what time it is until like you're in the middle of this now. Now I'm like, oh man, now I got to like, you know, I got to take my ashwagandha and my, you know, my turmeric every night and stuff like that. I got to be like, oh, wow, I got to make this body last another 30, 35 years. You don't think about that until it's like, now I got to worry about someone else and then we're going to bring a family into the world.
You guys are like, your dick's like always in a casino. Like the no windows clock. Are no windows. They're pumping in fresh oxygen
that's
and
right.
music.
Clock for the cock.
Yeah.
Then we got to go to the buffet.
That's right.
Your dick's hungry.
Yeah, at the buffet. I was like,
how'd you grow up? What were your parents like?
I was just my mom, single parent. I grew up here in L.A. You know, it was. You know, my mom, you know, it sucks because my mom has dementia right now. Right. So it's like, you know, it's such a difficult thing. What a weird disease, you know. But yeah, I just grew up in L.A. and like I was like alone a lot because I was, you know, only child.
You were a latchkey kid, probably.
Yeah, so I was
we're
just
all
like,
latchkey
you know,
kids in the 80s.
Where I was making tents in the living room. And you know,
where'd you grow up?
Like mid-Wilshire area, like, you know, in L.A.
Just Miracle
like,
Mile.
Deep in L.A., yeah. I went to like a Catholic high school that it's now closed down. But, you know, it just was – I just had a, you know, a simple life, I thought, at the time. You know, I got everything I did late. Like, I started to play basketball, and I didn't start playing basketball till like, my junior year. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? When I should have played – you know, and I went to a small high school, and at 6'3", I was tall. You know, I remember going to like telling my mom, I got to go to basketball camp, man. So I went to this big man camp. Uh-huh. It's the first time I found out that I wasn't tall.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I mean? It was like, I was at 6'3", I'm walking around this big man camp like, God damn. Everybody's calling me little man at this big man camp.
De facto point guard.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, I don't have this kind of skill. So, yeah, it was cool, you know. And I went to a Catholic school, which I wasn't even Catholic. But, you know, my mom was like, you know. I remember I went to public school, got bad grades, and she was like, that's it! You're going to private school, you know?
Yeah, it's safer and it's free, right? Catholic school?
No, it's not free.
Oh, it's not?
No, that's
Catholic
private school.
Free.
No,
are you kidding me?
Private school.
That's a private school.
Yeah, but it's a religious school. Doesn't that make a difference?
No, that's tax free money that they get.
Oh, I see.
You could get some about? Fucking vouchers going, but yes. Did you, what public school did you go to?
I went to John Burroughs for like, it was like middle school.
Isn't that in Burbank?
No, no, no. It's there's like another off one. Of, I don't know where the hell
there's
that
a Burroughs High School in Burbank. I guess there's
that's
like
a different one,
multiple boroughs.
Yeah,
out
but
there.
This was like a small, it was a big public school. I never really had that like big public school experience except for that one time. When I was a kid, I went to Brentwood. My mom always wanted me outside of the box. Mm-hmm. She didn't want me going anywhere in the neighborhood I lived in because I was like ghetto adjacent where I grew up. So I went to Brentwood when I was first through sixth grade. And then seventh grade, I went to John Burroughs. And then I went – she was like, nope. Then I went to – the first Catholic school was St. Mary Magdalene. And it was on Pico.
Oh.
And it was this Catholic school. And it was just like, you know, you had to wear a uniform and you had to go to church, you know, and all this stuff. And I was just like, wow, okay. You know, I didn't.
When did comedy start to creep in?
It was always in, but I didn't know that you could make a career out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially when you live in LA. Because when you live in LA, things like that really seem like a pipe dream. Even though everything's happening here, how do you get into it? No one, there's no manual. There's nobody saying to you, like, hey, you got to do it like this. There's a lot of scam artists who are like, hey, come take a class at such and such, and I'll teach, you know, here's how you get an agent, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I always thought I wanted to be a comic. My mom says this to me when I was a little kid. She said, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I said, I want to be a comedian. And I don't remember that.
Wow.
What did she say, I guess, more importantly?
She was probably, that's why I probably don't remember it, because she was like, that's not going to happen. My mom is from an era where you grew up, you needed to be a doctor, lawyer, or businessman. Like, uh-huh. There was no other profession that you could be,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I didn't have that in me. When I actually finally said to her, I want to do this, I saw that nervous look on her face. I was going to USC and I had terrible grades. I was like, this isn't going to be me. I can't do this. And then she just like broke down and like signed me up for a comedy class at UCLA Extension.
Oh, yeah, wow. I took one there too a million years ago.
Yeah, so it was life changing because I was like, oh, this is great. And my first set, I remember doing the showcase for the class, the graduation was actually at the Comedy Store.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in the OR.
And it original was room.
Yeah, you know, original room. The first time I ever did comedy in front of a crowd. And that's the moment I knew. I was like, this is it. But at that point, then what do you do?
Yeah. Right. But it worked that first time out?
Yeah. You know, I think a lot of people's first time, it works great. Because it's like it's fresh and new. And the art of stand-up comedy is saying things over and over again and making it feel like you're saying it for the first time. Like a like a great compliment. Like the best compliment to me for a comic is not, hey, that was funny. The best compliment is that the first time you've ever said that?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Did you just come up with that?
That's the best compliment.
That's the best compliment because then they're saying – then it lends itself to performance. It lends itself to like you know, you have a firm grasp of your voice and your point of view. And that, you know, when you have that, then you could go to so many different places. You have a very strong point of view now, more than ever before. So, like, when you start talking about something, people are interested. They're going to be like, oh, I know. Where's Adam going to go with this one, right? And it's just like that's part of, like, your message and your voice. And it's a hard thing to find. It takes a long time to get there.
It does. And, you know – I can juxtapose my first time out at the Comedy Store. The first – I did an open mic.
Oh.
And
this was a more comfortable environment because you had to invite friends and family.
I invited a few friends, and I did my act, and, you know, it was horrible. And when I was done, I got a lot of, oh, no, it's funny, you know, but it didn't go well. And
do you remember any of the jokes?
I went on as a character. I remember I was I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. And I showed up and it was a mess. But I went to Janie's house. She was the rich person who started Juicy and Dad owned all the McDonald's and everything. Had a big house in Encino. Yeah. Janie LaPetta went to her house afterward. Went in, we're like, oh, no, that was good. You know, we're driving and they were trying to make nice. You know, they had some good stuff in there, you know, whatever. It did not go well. But we couldn't really verify it until we got to the house. Because when we got to the house, Janie walked in and it was back old school phone, you know, phone machine with the tape in it, you know what I mean? And you'd remember people walk in and hit bonk.
Sure.
And then you're,
oh, no, and the message was about you?
No, the message was – well, the message wasn't about me. Remember when the phone machine would pick up and then the person would pick up?
Oh, you can hear everything.
And then it would record the conversation.
Yep. Right.
Yep. So I walk in, it's like, bonk, and it's like, please leave a, oh, hey, this is Shelly. Oh, and then you hear Janie's sister pick up the phone. Hey, where'd you guys go? Oh, we went and saw Adam do stand-up tonight. Oh, how'd it go? And Janie's like, stop.
Like, rips the cord out of the wall.
I'm like, just,
yeah. No, we don't want to hear that.
I'm like, just let it play. Let it play. And it was,
when I look back, that good. When I look back on my set, I feel it was pretty bad. I remember the jokes though.
Let's hear some jokes.
I remember one of my jokes was about, like, I wear glasses, so I was like, how do people not recognize that Superman and Clark Kent are the same person?
Right. Yeah.
And then I would go like this on stage. I mean, look, Clark Kent, Superman. That was one of them. I had another one, Black Jeopardy. How come there wasn't any black people on Jeopardy? And then they would have, you know, different
categories
like blind singers and barbecue holidays.
Off the stage, fag! So you worked it all out in the workshop.
Yeah,
I worked
it all out. Yeah.
And then
20 years later, that joke is killing now. No.
You do 5 minutes?
It was like 5-7 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I always encourage people, take a class. Yeah. Because the first time you do, you should take a class because you're with people that are like you and you have that comfortable environment. They're going to help you. You could do it. And then you're inviting people that you know and they're like, you know. But when you become a pro, you realize, like, when you first start coming up, you do all these bringer shows. Remember doing bringer shows?
I never had to do them because I brought myself to a radio station at some point.
Well, a lot of your improv shows were de facto bringer shows.
Oh, when I was with the Acme troupe, there were bringer shows, but no one brought anybody.
Yeah, man. You used to bring people, and that was a nightmare.
Oh, they're still doing that.
I know.
I get invited all the time.
I know. And it's like at that
point. Oh, no.
Then you get to a point where you're in your career where people, I don't care if you come.
Yeah.
Like, people are asking me, hey, man, how come you never invite me to your show? Because there's a website and you can find out if you want to go, just go. Because, you know, I hate inviting people because people become stupid all of a sudden.
Yes.
You know, all of a sudden it's like, hey, where do I wear? Where do I park? I'm at the front. It's like, yo, bro, just be an adult.
And you got this far in life.
Figure the shit out, man.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
My favorite is when I get off stage and I see someone and I go, oh, thanks for coming. That's how you're supposed to do it.
Yeah.
I was at Vitello's last night and I always think about it because, you know, I was sandwiched in between Bill Burr and Jim Jeffries and having the time of my life. But the scant 26 years earlier, maybe 30, I was standing in front of Vitello's handing out flyers to the Two Roads Theater, which is directly across the street and still there. Just trying to get people to come across the street to see our sketch comedy.
You're building up quite a list of those because you've gone to award ceremonies at the same places where you clean the carpets.
That's the Grand Trinon.
Yeah, you're really building up quite a list of these.
Yes. Oh, you were in a sketch group. I was in a sketch group called the Suckling Pigs.
It's good.
You know?
It's good.
And no one does that anymore because now it's like you just get your friends and you tape it and put it on YouTube.
Right. Yes.
Like nobody's doing like a show.
Live show.
Sketch groups always fell apart because there wasn't a leader.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a bunch of like people who everybody thought everybody was funny. You know, I'm the funniest, and it was like it just always broke apart. But I remember doing sketch shows. That was a fun time.
You do improv too?
No, I can't stand improv.
It's uncomfortable to watch.
Improv is a skill that you learn to help you do real comedy. Okay, it would be like going to watch people shoot free throws.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Well, all right, it's a
hard
discipline.
Stand.
Like the
best people that could do it, they're great, but it's very rare. Like going to watch improv is like going to watch spoken word poetry. Mm. Like one spoken word poet, fine, but when everybody is doing it. Then it becomes like, it would be like going to church and everybody sounds like the pastor. So you get to the parking lot, ha, welcome to church, ha, welcome, ha, welcome, park over here. Then you get to the front door, welcome to church, oh my God, why? You know, you sit down and they're like, hell, hallelujah, sit over here. And then the pastor comes out. By the time the pastor comes out, you're like, I've had enough of this. I have had enough of this.
You should teach at the Groundlings.
Unlike the pastor, the barrier to entry for improv is zero. Anyone can just, you know, do it.
I did Groundlings.
The 1% that's really excellent, much like the pastor, yes. then it's like, oh, I'm seeing something cool. I'm seeing something special.
I know, yeah. But at that point, it's watered down. Listen, no shade to the people that are great at improv, because it is a skill I think you need to really be a great stand-up. You have to be fast on your feet. You have to be able to, like, do things, and I think that's important. But when people, you know, consider that a show, mm-hmm. like, it's like I've seen more terrible improv than I have seen – fantastic improv.
Mm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's the ratio of the world.
That's pretty much it.
You know,
the most exciting, fascinating, mind-boggling performance I've ever seen, I've seen a lot of fucking everything, is improvised Shakespeare. I've never seen anything like it. I don't know how they do it. It's like a magic trick that none of us will ever be able to figure out. Have you seen it?
I've been in it.
What?
That's a common thing. The improvised Shakespeare, like at the Groundlings, Acme, or whatever.
How many other performers?
You just opened the curtain for her.
How many performers?
No, like the improvised Shakespeare group.
How does one of the few who's done it and never read Shakespeare?
Yeah, this you literally you speak it, you know it.
Everybody I've ever been in a troupe with has that training in their background. Yeah. They're not roofers or plumbers. They're like acting. They have Shakespearean. They've read it all.
It's crazy,
and they snap right into it.
It's fucking crazy. I totally agree. Middleditch do it.
I couldn't do it, but it gets called out frequently. It's a thing.
Yeah, there's some people that are fantastic at improv, but they're also I would rather see them be comedic actors in mm-hmm. something. Okay, like if they had to choose, like you want to see this guy improv, because the part of the trick of improv is in your mind. It's like when you watch a documentary. There's this like presumption that this is true. Mm-hmm. So when you watch it, you have that. When you're watching improv, there's this idea that you're like, ooh, they're just coming up with this in the moment. So you're giving it extra than it deserves, as opposed to like somebody who has – here's a fantastic writer who wrote some words, and then this person is putting his talent to make these words seem like it's real. I mean, I just think there's more to that.
I wonder what the state of – sketch and improv is now. So when I was
there's an underbelly, there's a world out there. They're still doing it.
When I was coming up, there was a million groups, and everyone's involved with some. And I was involved with it heavily. So
remember,
that's what that was my world.
There were little theaters all over the place,
that's over.
20,
how much,
theaters?
Chris? How much is a Groundlings beginning class today?
It's a few hundred bucks.
Yeah, $450, $500. At least it was
$250 way back, or maybe $225 or something. Back in the day when I was doing it, it was $2 whatever.
I'm going to say the cheapest one you can find is $300 to $350.
Yeah, Groundlings and UCB were both
at the Groundlings.
$400 or $500 when I did it.
I've looked into it not too recently.
Ooh, wow.
Not too long.
$400 or $500?
Oh, absolutely. They put you on payment plans.
What are you, Jordan SAG?
Seriously. And now Iowa West is closed. One of the UCB theaters closed? Like, it's not the same.
So
Second City's not even doing in-person stuff.
Yeah.
Second City, one of the times I was disappointed was I went out to watch a show. I think Second City opened up a place in Santa Monica briefly.
Yes.
Yes. And I went out there. And I was like, because I was in my group and I knew everyone at the Groundlings and that was kind of my world. And although it does strike me, I do think of myself all the time, and I realize people think of me as a sort of douchebag who did radio or something.
Go on.
A shock jock or
keep
something.
Keep going. Tell us more.
I don't think, Adam, not you.
People don't think of me as a very well-trained improvisational actor.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think.
I mean, they should.
They should, but yeah. I just realized I think they think of me as a sort of blue-collar douchebag, I guess, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
But I realize when I'm talking to people, they don't realize how all the training I did with this. But how much is it?
They must be heavily discounting right now. This one's...
The first one was only one session, a class that goes on for a while.
Six sessions is $325.
You're getting a discount. So basically $350.
But see, that level, people keep repeating.
Yes.
Because you have to graduate to the next level.
When I did it, it was like 12 sessions, though. I don't think it was more than six. So $325 is make it $650 for the 12. But anyway, at the Groundlings. So I went to Second City in Santa Monica just to check it out. And
to judge the Shakespearean improv.
That's right. See, it was up
your
to
forte.
Up to my standards. And they went out and they went, now we're doing the improv section. And they went, okay. And they got a bunch of suggestions. And then they went, all right, we're taking a 10-minute break. We'll come back.
That's
and I remember at the time, what the fuck? You can't do it that way. They
speed
stopped.
Sketch.
They everyone went to get a glass of wine in the lobby. They came back in 15 minutes. And then they did the improv.
You can't call it improv.
I'm like,
see
foul.
What you need? And here's the thing. There's so many tricks with improv. And by the way, it's like, if this is your first time doing improv, that's real, true improv.
Mm-hmm.
But these professional improv people, you don't think they've heard, you're a doctor at the post office before?
On the moon.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, there's tricks. There's and by the way.
You have a Rolodex.
By the way, even let's just go to stand-up. There's a lot of bad stand-up, okay? Mm. So, like, it's not like one's better than the other. I'm saying the amount of really great improv artists is probably a lot smaller than the great stand-ups that you can go watch. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing, you get really disappointed,
You would have liked my grandfather because he felt the same way. He was a writer by trade. He went and saw one of my shows and was sort of disgusted at the notion of people making shit up on stage. He's old school Hungarian guys. Yeah. Like, you don't walk out on stage and make shit up. You hire me.
Yeah.
I write shit. You memorize it. Then you put some tights on and go out on stage. Like, what the fuck? Think you just wander out there and make up a show?
It's a totally different art form that it should be separate. It's kind of like how baseball and softball look the same, but they're not the same sport.
Yeah.
That's acting and improv.
Oh, we have, I forgot, Chris has the front of the, LA Weekly or I don't know what it was, my Acme Theater. It's on the cover of LA Life Weekend. Everyone was wearing tuxedos.
Oh, that's you in
Comedy
front.
Comedy on Demand.
Comedy on Demand. I'm bottom right.
Yeah.
Would you be friends with that guy today?
That was Jim. I'm trying to think. I think
it was you. I'm saying you.
Oh, would I be friends with me?
Yeah.
If you met
that young version of yourself, could you tolerate him?
Or that version of me was a great carpenter who wanted $15 an hour and you didn't have to pay for travel or runs to Home Depot or anything. I would hire that dude and use the shit out of him. An honest carpenter who worked all day long. And again, when I went and picked up 10 sheets of plywood at the Home Depot on a Saturday, I didn't charge you for that. Wow. I just went to the Home Depot, picked it up, and saw it was at your house Monday morning. So, yeah, I would make friends with me. Minus the carpenter skills, I don't think so.
But, where'd you find? Who found this?
I don't know. It says it's LA.
I found it.
Weekend. Yeah, I think we took it out of the Lucite frame in my dad's living room. It was the theater I built.
This is an offshoot of the LA Daily News.
Oh, it is. It's
you can see it right there.
Comedy on Demand, Improv Clubs, A Critical Guide. Mm. And somehow we had made the cover.
Where the hell did you find a tux?
That's a really good point. That's a good point. Chris Darga is the guy in the middle to the right in the back. And he's a guy who's in... I don't know, Chris, didn't you find him somewhere?
Yeah, so I was watching Deep Impact the other day, and I saw a character
movie.
Actor that looked familiar, and I went to go look up who it was. It was Chris Darga. And then so I was just Googling him, and I found an old picture that John McCann posted of Chris and Adam. So I was wondering if Chris had been on the show or anything like that. So this is John P. McCann on the
left.
On the very left, the guy who did Animaniacs and Freakazoid. Mm-hmm. So he tweeted this, and he says, "My cousin sent this photo to me of the Acme Comedy Players back in 92. This is when I was working on Animaniacs." And then he says, from left to right, it's John P. McCann, Kate Donahue.
Hold on a second. Katie Donahue was the one who managed the bar at the TGI Fridays in Woodland Hills.
Yeah.
Showbiz.
Oh, I was like fucking baby back rib, bitch. I would drive my Zuzu Trooper from Santa Monica just to Beverly Hills on the because she would give me back ribs.
You weren't bartering carpentry services?
She was probably like, oh, shit, here he is.
No, sorry. Keep it going. But that was a big deal. Free baby back ribs. Actually, it wouldn't be free. She'd just give me a bill for like $8 or something, a few beers, you know.
Yeah. Mark Drottman is third.
Yep.
Lisa Malone.
That was my old roommate for a while.
Chris Darga.
Chris Darga. If you read Chris Darga's IMDb, you'll see he's in every movie.
Yeah.
Hudsucker Proxy. Oh, wow. He's the guy who's doing the orientation thing.
He's in a ton of movies.
Yeah.
Vanessa Thomas is next.
She moved back to Canada, started doing radio.
Paul Rugg, who's been on this show.
Paul Rugg is Freakazoid and does all the voices and all the Animaniac stuff.
Is this just the tint, or is there four redheads in this picture?
Yeah, I think it's the tint.
How's that possible?
So they were blonde.
Adam, of course, and then the late Jim Wickline.
Oh, Jim passed?
I guess so.
Wow.
John, yeah.
Interesting. He was from Zanesville, Ohio.
Wow.
And he was a friend.
How do you remember that?
Because it's a weird name. And then he was friends with the director, Mark, and they were like boyhood friends. And they came out here from Zanesville to like do comedy. Mm. And Jim was like a Zanesville, Ohio guy. It's like it was just kind of straight dude. Mm-hmm. Like we didn't have that funny, neurotic, mm-hmm. It wasn't Woody Allen. You know, it was just like a sort of tall, nice looking blonde, like white guy. Didn't really seem to fit the comic mold, but nice guy. Have no idea what happened. Shortly after this, everyone just sort of bled apart and I ended up in radio. But those were the days. Yeah.
So if you had an anniversary, you know, like one of those like high school reunions, you'd be the uber successful guy at the thing showing off.
You'd be the superlative.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they wouldn't treat me any differently. Chris did Hudsucker Proxy, Bruce Almighty, Dude, Where's My Car, which I don't remember. He also had a big – remember when you could do an episode of Seinfeld and like be that guy
who
was
in like
Seinfeld? He got a Seinfeld episode where he was like the cab driver or something.
Philip Baker Hall. That's the story of his career.
Yeah. All right. Let me
Library
see.
Library cop.
Bookman.
Yeah. What happened – I wonder what happened to Jim Wickline. I couldn't even remember him. I couldn't remember his last name, but sad. All right, let me hit concrete. Your body makes half the creatine it needs. The other half comes from the diet, everyone. But most American diets are low in creatine-rich foods. Concrete patented creatine, HCL, is the favorite creatine of elite, well-informed athletes. I'm drinking mine right now. You really feel the energy. And it tastes good, too. The number one bioavailable creatine and the only microdosing creatine. Just one small scoop per 100 pounds of body weight. It's just a little scoop. Comes in a little container. It's got a nice lemon flavor to it. Mix it up with your frother. At least that's what I do. Creatine is required for functional energy in every cell, and your brain uses about 20% of the creatine in your body. So let's focus on the immune system and the brain and get some concrete. Right, Dawson?
Take control of your health, both body and mind. Build a better you with concrete. Register now at con-crete.com/podcast. That's con-crete.com/podcast for a chance to win a $500 Walmart Visa gift card. Available now online and in-store Walmart. Concrete is truly life-changing and performance-enhancing.
Oh, I forgot. I forgot Chris Darga was in The Hammer. That was my movie.
How did you forget that?
I don't think that way.
From
it's
this
weird.
Still, I know exactly.
He's in good
he
movies,
is.
Not yours.
He's the cab driver who keeps talking to Elaine, so she pretends she's deaf because she doesn't want to do small talk.
Mm-hmm.
This is great. Good for him.
Could they even make Seinfeld again today?
No. They have a whole episode about a drugstore Indian. There's literally no way.
How about the whole one where he's marching, but he's not putting on the gay pride
lapel? Who won't wear the ribbon?
Yeah.
They couldn't even make Workaholics. You know, having three white guys as the leads. They couldn't even do that today. It's crazy.
It's so funny. I was watching the movie Annihilation. Did you see it, Brian? Ex Machina?
I love those movies. Alex Garland.
Well, I love Ex Machina. And we watched Annihilation. I was like, but I love that there's seven female leads, but I didn't like. I didn't love the movie.
I like the movie because it's thought provoking. It'll stick with you.
Mm-hmm.
You only just saw it, right?
I love a good thought-provoking.
Let it marinate.
I didn't see it. Ex Machina.
Ex Machina is way better.
I would say Machina or something. Or I would mispronounce that, right? All right. Eric's going to hang out. We're going to take a break. We're going to do some news right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gino Grad. Stuff face all on TMZ. Joe Biden. Kamala. Meet news with Gina. Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, I'm sorry to bring this story to a conclusion. It was a real roller coaster yesterday. But as far as we know, Tony Dow has died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't get fooled again.
I know. It was Wally Cleaver, Leave It to Beaver. He died Wednesday morning, according to his manager, citing Dow's son, Christopher. He was 77. News of the actor's passing comes one day after a premature announcement of his passing. Dow revealed in May he had been diagnosed with cancer and was receiving hospice care. And he finally succumbed to that.
Sad, sort of, but he, what, 77? Mm-hmm. Young by today's standards.
Yeah. But it's almost like people are upset. Like, hey, when you say you're dead, you got
to
be dead.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Don't fool us again.
Yeah, but I would actually like to say I'm dead. And then so I can, my last day, kind of see who loves me.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And
mm-hmm.
then be like, ah, oh, thanks. Now I'm out.
Wasn't that a curb enthusiasm?
But oh, not necessarily thanks.
Yeah, but it could be like, you know.
Best friend pounding your bride. Someone going, wait a minute, I got the same prescription and eyewear. Give me that shit.
Yeah, whatever it is. But I'm just like, it's almost like it'd be better to, like, you know, like even just fake your death. You know, if you know you're going to die, if you have terminal cancer, you know you're going to die in a week or whatever it is. It's like, let's have the funeral.
Yeah, join the party.
I would want to have terminal whatever, let's have my funeral while I'm alive.
That is the plot of a movie. It's called Get Low. It's with Robert Duvall. It's like 10 years old. He's decided to have his funeral while he was alive so he could, you know, enjoy all the well wishes.
It's also a Curb episode where Albert Brooks waits upstairs and watches it from a camera in the bedroom.
Oh, that's right.
And they find out he's a toilet paper hoarder during the pandemic.
Also, I'm fine with any kind of eulogy, but I don't like the part where inevitably they go, he's gone to a better place. Because, I mean, the place. So you're saying where we're at
is the worst.
Not good.
Well, I think people say that because we want to feel good about the memory, our last memory of this person. Like, nobody wants to think like, all right, let's say if you believe in a higher power, or whatever. So then that's a good thought to have. All right, they're gone to a
couldn't hurt.
Okay, or it couldn't hurt, right? But or if you don't believe in that, you still don't want to be like, yeah, he's just in the ground rotting away as a plant food.
Either way,
it's like it makes you feel, it's all selfish.
You know what you do? We should work out what you don't want said at your funeral.
Mm-hmm.
You do not want people to say, he's finally at peace. That means something's gone.
You
killed yourself. Something was fucking wrong your whole life.
Addiction.
You're horribly molested. Addiction. OD. Something. You never want. He's finally at peace.
Yeah. I feel that way also about, like, you know, it's bittersweet or it's a mixed blessing. Like, that he's dead.
But it's also the other way that, like, if a sort of, like, famous comic dies and he's, you know, then people start, it turns into a roast.
Sure.
I don't necessarily know if I want that either. You know, people coming out and be like, yeah, you know what? I got some stories about this guy. What a dickhead.
We always save it. Like, I didn't know Bob Saget was the best person on the planet until he died.
Everyone's
like, he's the best. Where was all the Saget talk before he died? Well, he could have enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Send him an email.
Can I tell you something? He was a nice guy.
Of course he was.
Did you ever say to his face?
I'll tell you, the last time I saw him, we were doing that benefit show. John Mayer was supposed to show up and he didn't show up. And Saget sees me and he goes, hey man, I got to show you something. And he, like, opens up his comedy writing book, his little book, and he goes to a page and he shows me, he says, Eric Griffin is funny.
Wow.
You know, like he had just written it down or something, watching me. And I was like, oh, thank you. You know what I mean?
That's proof right
there.
That's
good.
That's awesome.
I mean? Yeah. Something like that. You know, it was a great what he said. I was like,
was it
you.
At the Beverly?
No, it was at the Wiltern.
Oh, the Wiltern.
Yeah.
Because I've done his benefit. You brought
it wasn't
up,
his benefit. It
was
wasn't
his sister's benefit.
It was somebody else. It was for the military and this kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
It just was a weird show.
Oh, he was
show.
There. All right. Yeah, so I did there. His
Gun
benefit.
Fryer.
But yeah, it was supposed to, like Bill Burr was there. Or, you know, it was something like that.
You brought up going to places where I used to clean the carpets mm-hmm. and having my MacArthur returning to the Philippines moment. Like, I've returned. Roll my pants up. Mm-hmm. That was the Grand Trianon at the Beverly Wilshire, the Beverly Wilshire Hotel. And that was Sagitt's scleroderma thing with John Mayer supposed to blah, blah, blah.
Well, this generally wouldn't be my top story, but since we're talking about it, I've been sitting on it for a few days.
Dobie Gillis died.
Yeah.
All right.
It is interesting what people will say about you when you die, and usually there's a lot of sugarcoating. Nobody wants to speak ill of the dead. However, if you're a piece of shit, sometimes your kids will let you know when you die. Mm. A Florida man named Lawrence Pfaff Sr. recently passed away at 81, according to his obituary written by his family. And at 81, he lived much longer than he deserved, according to his kids.
Occasionally, you will see the vindictive obit.
And I have it for you. It's clear by reading the obit that Pfaff will not be remembered fondly, especially by his unknown number of children. Here's what they wrote.
Hold on.
There you go.
Dawson.
Enough said.
Isn't there something in my book about someone else outside the family, someone you don't know has to deliver your obit so we can get the truth? There's something in there. I can't remember what it is.
You just
got to
find the most honest person in your family.
Oh, this would be his children. This is what he wrote. He survived by his three children. No, four. Oops, five children. Well, as of 2022, we believe there is more than we know about, but there could be more. It continues, his love was abundant when it came to himself, but for his children, it was limited. From a young age, he was a ladies' man and an abusive alcoholic, solidifying his commitment to both his path of destruction he left behind, damaging his adult children, and leaving them broken.
Jesus.
He was a native New York NYPD officer for 20 years. Many of those
Back
years spent with his gun and badge taken away for disciplinary action. The obit concludes, Lawrence Sr.'s passing proves that evil does eventually die. And it marks a time of healing, which will allow his children to get the closure they deserve. Lawrence Sr. can be remembered for being a father to many, a dad to none.
Well, now my
Ooh,
kids.
Damn.
Wait, I got to drop the mic. Damn.
My kids don't have to compose their own. They can just pull this off the internet, right? And now a musical interlude. Papa was a rolling stone. Wherever he laid his head was his home. And when he died,
is that a picture
all
of the guy?
He left us no. was alone.
This guy's way too young, yeah?
Who are we looking at?
Is that him?
No. Yeah, it's the guy.
Well, this guy's 81. That might be Junior, because this guy was.
This might be the guy that wrote.
This guy's way too young.
He might have wrote the a bit, old bit.
Man,
that was serious.
But so where do you guys come down on this? Because
I respect it.
Who you saw?
Yeah. I've had people say to me like, "Hey, don't talk shit" or whatever. Like, I'm just reporting. If that's talking shit, that just means you fucked
yes,
up.
That's
you know
the line.
I mean?
If you don't want people to say bad things about you, don't behave badly.
Yes. Yes, I agree. I think you should be able to accurately report on whatever.
But that wasn't even like a report so much as it was like, you know, like a therapy session.
Yeah, it was
about
cathartic.
Cathartic for sure. Like, here's the pain and I want to put it out in the world. Something I probably should have said a long time ago and I'm saying it now. Good riddance.
Yeah.
Do you have a dossier of the book? I can't remember what I said, but.
You said, I think eulogies should be made by an impartial third party. That would keep you on the straight and narrow. Anyone in the family is going to sugarcoat the dearly departed's personal character a little bit. They'll remember the good times, the Christmas mornings and the baseball games, but they'll leave out the drunken arguments and coffee mugs thrown across the room. The neutral outsider would be able to keep it real. Instead of a beloved brother and talented musician who was cut down in his prime, it'd be a wannabe rapper gangbanger who was shot during a bodega robbery.
You know what?
There Sorry should to racialize
be a,
it, but
there
yes.
should be a company, right? This will be the company. So every year, you have to have a dossier that you have to turn in, and this is the highlights of your 2022, it's locked in.
Okay,
you know,
I like
so whatever
this.
Nonsense you did, it's locked in. So that at the end of your death, this third party company gets to come in and go, well, we put it together.
Yeah.
And here it is.
That's a good point. I think the Jews are ahead of you. That's called Yom Kippur. You atone for the year's sins, and sort of speak them, and you fast, and you pray for forgiveness that you're written in the book of life another year. So, yeah, the Jews agree.
All right. I got to tell my wife's Jewish, and I didn't even know that.
I'm circling back to Achievement Day in lieu of your birthday.
Yeah.
Figure out the day. And it can move.
Or how about you had your best
achievement?
How about you have to have like a side by side? It's like, here's his five best moments and here's his five worst moments.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you have to say that at the funeral, and then you can kind of just be like, okay.
Yeah, but your worst moments may be like, he cared too much. You know, he would just be the best guy ever.
It can't be that. You know, it's got to be like, you know, he embezzled money from his company. Okay. It's got to be real stuff, you know?
You know, like, Gina was a chocoholic. No.
She hated Monday. She called the moon day.
All right.
Well, you may be onto something. We hinted at monkeypox the other day, and maybe the groups that need to be more protected than others. The director of the World Health Organization has said that men who have sex with men, should adjust how they go about sexual encounters amid this monkeypox outbreak, recommending they reduce their number of sexual partners and reconsider initiating sex with new people.
All right, I'm down to 18.
First of all, if AIDS didn't stop it, monkeypox, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're going.
Yeah.
We're not going to be like, you know, this is, you know what I mean? Like, what are we talking about?
Well,
we're just going to work on a virus or work on some things for it.
Right.
But it's not going to stop. No. Nothing's going to stop sex.
Horny dudes.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to stop it.
No. Well, monkeypox is not a sexually transmitted disease. It can spread through prolonged skin-to-skin contact, but that's or contaminated bed linens.
You don't have to be gay. It's just if you wrestle dude nude for more than an hour, you may get
what I heard in this is don't last long.
Right.
Yeah. That's right.
I heard bust quick.
That's right. You heard the man.
Bust quick to avoid those pox.
That's right. That's the new slogan. Remember when we docked in NASA on the cruise, and I saw that health facility on the island? It said wrap your tings.
Mm-hmm.
This is good. But what is it? Bust quick.
Bust quick to avoid
those pox.
That's good. Mm-hmm. So Russia's done with us and the International Space Station. They're officially taking their ball home. They don't want to work with us anymore. They announced it'll end its involvement with the ISS program in 2024, likely as a result of growing animosity between the countries over Russia's invasion of the Ukraine. The head of the agency said it will instead focus on building its own space station, which it hopes to have operational by 2025. We've been working together since 1998, and they're done.
Yeah, but it's kind of weird. Isn't it weird that we're supposedly supposed to still be working on a space station together, but we're also giving weapons to the country that you're fighting?
It's awkward.
It's an awkward relationship.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Anyway. So it's like when I hear that, I just go, why haven't we just cut off all ties?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? How can you do that? Hey, we're going to give them weapons. Hey, can we get some oil?
Right. I think the grandiose idea is just that, you know, when it's the moon, it transcends all of this.
I don't know.
But no, it does not.
It just feels weird.
This is a weirder sider note, but do you guys feel, and I'm really trying to figure this out.
Let me hear it.
When you see uniforms, like when they show China or Japan or the Soviet Union or something, and you see like footage of a firefighter or a cop or something, do their uniforms always look weird and a little worse than ours, or are we just used to ours?
Both.
Is it both?
Oh,
it's like
that,
the weird little white helmets and like a weird reflective thing, and it's not
a little checkerboard.
You look at like our firemen and our cops and our whatever, and they just kind of look a little better, or am I just indoctrinated?
I think you're indoctrinated. I think it's like having the steering wheel on the other side. You know, people just want to be different.
Weird.
Yeah, it's just a little bit
but
like.
But we can't agree that, look, give the devil their due.
Sure.
Hugo Boss did the Krauts outfits, and they look pretty sharp.
Very sharp.
And And say what you will about those people, but...
But
they knew how to dress.
They look good. The uniform looked good.
Yeah.
China,
nice silhouette.
Japan.
Lacking.
Not as much. Brits had kind of a weird pit helmety thing, you know, shorts.
Yeah.
Korea, desert too. Korea's socks. Got
a lot of European cops show up look like taxi drivers, like a checkerboard
right,
thing, like a yellow
hat.
I don't need that.
I'm saying,
well, you see cops, and they don't have guns.
I think our stuff is cool.
I wonder what they think of our fire helmets. You know,
it's
the
a lot.
They're functional.
Yeah. Okay.
It's just crazy how like no. This, I've been all over the world. I've been all.
Grandfather is a fire chief of San Francisco.
Fire captain.
Captain.
But isn't this always
is that better than
is
chief?
Weird
no.
to me.
Sorry.
Okay. I've traveled the world, it's amazing how everything's the same everywhere.
Dude's eulogy.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, like let's say you're in Australia, and they still have traffic lights that work the exact same as ours. Mm. Like no one has invented anything different. You know, you would think that you would go someplace and be like, oh, they do it different when they drive. No. Everything's the same, man.
It's
everybody's got, like, you know, it's 911, you know, the fire, there's fire hydrants, there's, like, it's wait, like, isn't it kind of...
Other countries use 911? Like, it's 911?
You know why they do that?
Why?
Because of television.
Oh, you know, I'll tell you what is interesting.
It was different in some countries. They were different, but they watched so much American TV that they just changed. A lot of places just changed it to 911.
All their phone numbers in movies are 555.
Yeah. I will throw a slight curve into this. I had an English girlfriend, and I remember once saying to her, what is your name for a missing – we have John Doe. Mm. So we find a headless guy in the river, and we can't identify him. He's a John Doe. She's from England. She's like, Joe Bloggs. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, because you wouldn't have our name.
No.
You'd have your own name. But then revelation when I was dealing with Simon, who's Swedish, at the other shop as the editor, I said, what's your guy's name for the headless guy in the river? And she went, we don't have a name. And I thought, oh, that's a great society.
What are they?
You're not finding body.
It doesn't have enough.
They don't need one.
They'll just say unnamed.
There's not enough serial killers decapitating streetwalkers and throwing them in a river. We don't have a piled up
unnamed
people. They have an ID on them and they're not dead.
That's good.
Not having them. That's where you want to live.
That's where you want to be.
Go
ahead.
Well, I know that we don't talk about this much, but we got to talk about this one.
Uh-oh.
Not a single winning ticket was sold for Tuesday night's Mega Million drawing, so it's over $1 billion.
Nice. This is when I get in.
That's what everybody says.
Smart.
It'll likely rise before Friday. Right now it's 1.02. It's the second highest prize ever in Mega Millions history. It comes with a lump sum cash, just take it, of $602 million.
Now, can I say this?
Yeah.
As far as I can tell, because it's all over the radio and everything, there's zero people that won, but maybe there's going to be one person that wins or two people that win or five people that win. But there's 5,000 people who announced, if they win, I'm out of here.
Okay.
I'm out of here. They say that they're worth
5,000?
That are documented. Now,
well, I would like to know, of all these people that work for you here, who's out of here?
That's my point. Don't make that proclamation.
Yeah.
Keep
because
that
you're not going to win, and now you've entered the group of people in my head who won out.
Okay, how about this?
We're out of here. Imagine doing that in a marriage. Hey, woman.
I think I would rather be the sole winner of $200 million than think that I'm going to have a billion and then find out six other people won.
Oh, sure.
You know?
A real letdown. Mm-hmm.
It's a letdown. I mean, you're still going to get like $100 million, whatever it is, right?
But there's
something when you're at home. There's something at home reading those numbers being like, I'm going to be a billionaire.
Yeah.
And then you're like, no, like 17 people won.
Yeah,
you know?
No, it sucks. Well, before you get too excited about winning, it sucks.
No?
Before you get too excited, they always have to throw this in on the news. You're more likely to.
Oh, here it is.
Get killed by a shark.
Get monkeypox.
Get killed by a lightning strike. Or my favorite, get killed by a vending machine.
Oh, really?
Maybe toppling over on you?
Yes.
Overeating paydays? Wow. I don't know.
I think if you get killed by a vending machine, that's on you.
Yeah. Literally.
You're wrestling for Mars bar.
Yeah, like at what point are you in front of this vending machine?
Mm.
It's not like it's like an earthquake. I mean, like, you know, how are you not paying attention to a big-ass vending machine about to fall on you?
So that's how bad you want your Funyuns.
Yeah, I guess so.
They're delicious.
You should do the eulogy at the guy who was killed by the vending machine.
Oh, yeah.
What would that sound like?
Let me open up with... First of all, the guy was an idiot. You know what I mean? He was a father, a brother, but most importantly, an idiot. He died by a vending machine.
You got to work his weight in, too.
Yeah. You know he was obviously fat.
It's a large
Nobody
man.
Rests
I don't even have to see him. I was just like, obviously fat if you're at a vending machine and you're angry that you didn't get whatever you didn't get.
That's fat rage.
Yeah. Or you're that kind of asshole that probably deserves to die anyway. Because let it go. Well, what was it, a dollar?
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean?
Let's all bow our heads.
You know what I mean? How bad
is morbidly like, obese penny pincher. Keep going. I like where this is going.
Who deserved to die?
That's
a
right.
A morbidly obese penny pincher who, like, obviously got what was coming to him.
You know? Please rise for and Ecclesiastes 12.
Let me tell you.
Have you guys ever done a eulogy?
Yes.
Yes.
I have too.
My grandfather, who was the firefighter.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I think if you kept going with it, you'd say he'd so impressed his coworkers that when they showed up, they all grabbed the free snacks before moving the vending machine off of him.
Yeah.
There's a lot of. No, well,
we can punch us up after the show,
free,
Eric.
Yeah, they'd have free snacks from the vending company because of the impending lawsuit.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's an impending lawsuit, so the family's going to get something out of this. Yeah, I did. I did a eulogy for a kid once. It was terrible.
Come on, man.
Yeah, but you know what? Though I'll say this, I knew I. It was one of the times that I knew that I should be a comic.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Did you add a little mirth?
Yeah, I just people started laughing, and I was like, I'm killing at this funeral.
Was someone you knew or corporate gig?
Yeah, but that's a comic thing. People afterwards, I'm telling comics, and they're like, "Who books that?" You know what I mean? That's such a comic thing. No, but it was like I started talking about the kid. And people started laughing, and they were remembering him, and I was like, "Oh, this is a gift."
Yeah,
but it's before you're a comedian.
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay.
It was before, and it was one of the things that pushed me. Like, oh, I could do this.
So you made it about yourself. Important.
Yeah. I'm a,
no,
well, I can't. You can
I'm
make, a comic. If you can make that room
as,
laugh,
as we're on the Adam Carolla show.
Well,
talk about making it about
he
yourself.
He was forced to name it that.
This is a eulogy.
Yeah. Let's right. do his eulogy. Who's going to start?
Let's bring it home.
They'll say, Adam's Adam. Mm-hmm. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Eric Griffin is funny.
Gina.
Yeah.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Yeah. You don't want he's out of his pain, and you never want the word misunderstood. A lot of people misunderstood. Adam really had a good heart.
Adam was complicated.
You know what I mean? Are you kidding me? Everybody that talks at your funeral, that's the first thing they're going to say. You know, that guy, people didn't know him like I knew him. That's what people are going to say that.
Everyone had their idea.
Yeah they had their ideas.
I don't think you want, there was a stage persona, and then there was the real Adam. He's a gentle, kind, thoughtful.
How about
you
this?
Don't want that.
How about they say like a bunch of bad stuff and say, but they didn't like retract it. Like, you know, it's like, I know people think he was a right wing misogynist asshole, but there was more to him.
It wasn't just that.
It wasn't just, that was just a stage thing. Right. You don't want none of that. You don't want a list off of terrible things.
Yeah. You know? Please let me correct the record on my grandfather, my beloved firefighter grandfather. Fire chief is like the guy who's like downtown, you know, administrative position. Sure, he paid a lot of money.
He was middle management.
He was a captain, which means he was in the
house.
Firehouse till the day he retired. He was going out on missions.
Nice.
You know what I mean.
Firefighters don't get enough.
Goddamn right.
They don't get enough because I always say like a police, fire, you know, like the police, they have this whole thing about like getting home, you know? They say that a lot. We got to get home. We got to make sure we get home. And I always say, thank God firefighters don't think like that. Because imagine if they get to like a burning building and there's kids and they go, we got to get home.
That's right.
This looks dangerous, so we're going to get home.
You should really get out of there.
Yeah, you got – good luck. You know what I mean? That's why it's like when I hear that about the cops that signed up for a dangerous job and they don't want to be in danger, I just kind of go, what are we talking about here?
Yep.
I don't think you want to be called complicated at your funeral either.
Like how he's really.
Yeah, he's thinking about it.
Yeah.
You need to just pre-write your eulogy.
That's a good idea.
Peace.
It's good. It's good lynch.
But then you know what's going to happen, though? People are going to be like this. As you guys know, Adam he pre-wrote his eulogy. So they're going to read that. And then someone's going to go, now let's talk about the real.
No, you know what he wants? You know what he really wants? You know, somebody who always made a joke about having a tiny dick, only really confident. well-hung man could do this, and I can tell you.
Yes. Open zipper casket.
It's going to be open casket. Exactly. It's going to be open casket.
Open zipper casket.
Open zipper casket. All right. Let me hit did we bring it home, Gina?
We did.
Let me hit Jordan Harbinger, the Jordan Harbinger Show. A different kind of sponsor for this episode, the Jordan Harbinger Show. If you're a fan of fascinating podcasts and interesting people, well, you should definitely check it out. There's an episode for everyone. Doesn't matter what you're into. You got an episode like Jordan talks to Scott Adams about persuasion in a world where facts no longer matter, or you can go inside the dark world of wildlife trafficking. You always find something useful to apply to your own life, like routine changes to boost productivity or slight mindset tweaks to change how you see the world. We enjoy Jordan's show. Had him on the Adam and Dr. Drew show. Good guy, speaks a bunch of languages, travels everywhere. You're going to like it, too. You can search it out. The Jordan Harbinger Show. That's H-A-R-B as in boy, I-N as in Nancy, G-E-R, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to finer podcasts. All right. Eric can be found. Well, you can listen to him on his podcast, Riffin' with Griffin, Gen to Gen podcast, available wherever you listen to finer podcasts. And also, you can check him out live, Hollywood Improv, July 30th.
Actually, yes. I'm going to be at the La Jolla Comedy Store, 9th, 10th, and 11th.
Nice.
August?
Of August, yes.
Oh, okay.
September.
That's coming up.
It'll be on my website. Go to ericgriffin.com.
Go to ericgriffin.com is what I wanted to say. You can go to Salt Lake City and see me and Wise Guys August 26th, 27th. New book, Everything Reminds Me of Something. Thanks for leaving a review. I appreciate it. And until next time, this is Sam Carolla for Eric Griffin and Gina Grad and Bald Ryan. Say it. Mahalo. Could I have a donut hole? No.
Make sure you pick up Adam's new book, Everything Reminds Me of Something. It's available now everywhere in the audiobook. We'll be out on August 2nd. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And get your tickets to see the Ace Man. Get them now at adamcarolla.com.
Do you own? Do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
All this month, stream the funniest films for free on Pluto TV. Watch comedy classics like Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, and Mean Girls. Or drop in for a Tyler Perry marathon with a Madea family funeral and Madea's witness protection. Pluto TV also has hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows like Get Shorty, Be Cool, Key and Peele, Comedy in Color, and more. And no contracts, no subscriptions, no fees, no joke. So download the Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start laughing today. Pluto TV, drop in, watch free.